This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps.
I'm Danny Hogan.
Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. Here we are with another lockdown interview, this time talking to Sophie Savage. She's a previous guest from the show on an episode about resilience that I would 100% recommend listening to during this time. She has a fascinating perspective on so many topics, so we were delighted to get to chat to her again about one that we've not really addressed during the lockdown so far, and that is grief. That for many of us who are most affected by this virus, grief is the major factor in our mental health that we are grappling with. So it's our hope that Sophie's words and experience will offer some solace during this time, if that's what you're experiencing. But equally, if you're not, we do talk about lockdown and her experience more generally, which was really interesting to hear. So before we get into this bonus interview, Danielle is here as she is digitally with almost all of our lockdown interviews. Is there anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, a million things as always. But I think one of the key things I wanted to say was that I remember before some time ago you saying, we were talking about Sophie Savage for some reason, and you were saying how amazing she was and that she really inspired you. And honestly, she blew me away. I really, really enjoyed listening to her. I would listen to her over and over again. And you're right, the episode on resilience she did some time ago is definitely one people should listen to. She really did make me think and sit back and think about grief and, you know, all the people that at the moment that are struggling and that actually can't live our normal ritual of grief, which is funerals. One thing I would like to say is that stuck with me and that I hope I'll carry it with me throughout my life is that she said, grief is love. And I really kind of took that in and thought about it for longer and she explained more. But, you know, the fact that without love, there would be no grief. And I thought, wow, you only grieve because you love. And to think grief is love is really powerful.
For sure. So with all that said, we'll get into the episode with Sophie Savage.
I'm Sophie Savage, and I am speaking from lockdown during COVID-19. I think we're about week 9-ish at this point in time. It's been a really mixed experience for me. I'm an introvert, so it kind of suits me in some ways to not go out into the world. And we're also very blessed to live down a country lane, and I look out on my lovely garden and fields that we can walk into. So I feel very privileged to not be in a city right now. So we're definitely counting our blessings. It's an unprecedented time. I know that word's used far too much, but it's the first time that the entire world has faced the same threat, but we're not at war. So it's the first time the entire world has faced the same threat. And I find that a very powerful invitation to us all to connect and reconnect and remember who we are and what we have in common, and that we're one human race rather than all the other stuff that goes on. So I'm very engaged with what's this about and what's on offer for us. So that's personal, but there are real stresses and real losses. I mean, we're at home educating my kid. Well, we're remote learning, and I've never known my family in a more stressful situation, and I'm speaking as someone with terminal cancer. The stress levels of the three of us trying to educate my daughter, who really struggles academically. I mean, this morning I thought my family was going to implode. It's that stressful, and I could weep just talking about that, because it's gotten to the point where I'm saying this is damaging the mental health of our family, and I'd rather we just stop. I'd rather we just stop. You know, the universe has asked us to pause. And yet we're expecting our kids to carry on their curriculum as normal and the parents to teach them. And it's just incongruent with everything that's happening right now, everything. And this kind of need to be normal when we've clearly lost so many norms? Hello. This is a time of great loss. We've lost norms. We're losing freedoms. There is no norm. So I'm finding that's part of it incredibly stressful. But mostly I'm embracing it as an invitation to, you know, notice where we have been locking ourselves long before lockdown ever happened.
Yeah, that's such a key point about home learning and this pressure to keep that area of your life normal. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ironic, particularly when, certainly for everyone I know, we're all really struggling to motivate ourselves at times. How can you concentrate in the middle of a pandemic and just do your normal work, but you'll expect your child to do it?
She's having panic attacks at this point.
And I can understand it. I didn't enjoy my schoolwork at the time, you know, when I was struggling with dyslexia. Academia wasn't a safe space for me in many ways. And this pressure to try and keep that area of normality, it's like you say, it's incongruent, it's jarring.
Kids know a lot. Kids know that they're supposed to be pausing at some energetic level. But my daughter is working like I've never seen her work this hard. And she's glorious and trampolines and jumps everywhere and does cartwheels. And she's being incredibly resilient. But the schooling part is very hard for our family at this time. I work full time. My husband works. So it's challenging.
Of course. And one challenge we've not really addressed on the podcast during this has been the grief around all those that have lost their lives. Not only the collective grief that we're feeling as a nation and as a globe that is so, so difficult to wrap your head around, but also all those families that have been ripped apart suddenly, unexpectedly. So I'm interested to know, with your experience speaking and teaching around understanding grief, what your thoughts are on this.
Clearly, it is a time of profound loss, and it's a very sobering time. Mass graves are being built in some cities. Seeing the army driving coffins to crematoriums in Italy was one of the most devastating images I saw on television. We now in the UK have the highest death rate in Europe from COVID-19. America's ahead of us, but pro rata population wise, we're at the top of the pile right now. So it's a very sobering time. And I think part of what is utterly devastating is that people are dying alone and not being able to say goodbye to their family members and having to have tiny funerals. And I could weep just describing it. Grief is tough enough at any time, but to be locked down in your grief is a triple whammy in the whole situation. And add to that, we've lost our normalities. We've lost our freedoms. People have lost their incomes. People are losing financial security. I mean, the loss is deep and wide at this time. And as I see it, this whole situation is surfacing the losses of our lives and the grief of our lives, because we're all walking around with grief in our bones. And suddenly we're in this situation where we almost can't escape our own grief. We almost can't escape it. And the situation is so intense that in some ways this is a universal invitation to engage with loss. It's not so easy to avoid when you're inside. And maybe we need to go inside when we're inside, you know. Maybe this is a time to go inside and look at the many losses in our lives, even if you haven't lost someone to COVID-19. So it is both devastating and potentially revolutionary, I think. One of the things I'm doing is I'm currently running an online masterclass to help people shift their fear, loneliness, and grief, because loneliness, which is very close to grief, there was a pre-existing epidemic of loneliness before this pandemic came that research shows has been killing more people than cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. So loneliness can literally break our hearts, literally. And yet now we have more social distancing and isolation. And so you put the package of loneliness and grief together, and much, much support is needed at this time. So I'm doing what I can. It's a pay what you can masterclass. It's free for anyone on the front line. So this isn't a kind of promo thing. It's truly a service. I'm working with an educational charity. You just go to moretolife.academy if you're interested in getting support with loneliness and grief. I've been working in this field for some time, especially since my terminal cancer diagnosis, which brought me to my knees with grief and has helped me redefine grief in very powerful ways. So I see this as there is the loss we are currently facing, but I think it's also cracking open the grief in our lives that right. has been present for a very long time. There's like a tsunami of grief, but where does it go when you're in lockdown? Where do you put it? How do you engage with that? Especially when you can't even say goodbye to someone. There was some 14-year-old boy who died alone. His father was just devastated. I mean, I think they're easing that up a bit now.
And that's exactly what I was thinking as you described that, that we are at a period of immense loss and collective grief, and yet we're in a position where it could be easier than ever to push that down. That what on one hand, the feelings are coming up, but then we're in isolation. We're already, in a way, shutting in and hiding from an illness. So that could lead us to try and shut away from other things that are causing us stress. And already a lot of the misconception around grief and how to process it and what it is and it isn't comes down to societal pressure to push down uncomfortable feelings. Keep calm and carry on can be helpful right now, but it can also encourage people to ignore how they're feeling and not process things.
Or feel it so intensely that they, but where do they put it? I mean, grief, just to be clear, is the courageous expression of sorrow. It's not the other things we've been taught it is, like anger and depression and denial. But that those things are not grief, but we react to grief in those ways. And if you're locked in a family situation that's stressful or abusive, I mean, all that's going on at this time, that some people are locked down in quite terrifying situations. So we do need support for, I think, both the loneliness and the grief, which are very connected. I think the lonely riddled with grief. I think loneliness is, it's a grief-stricken state of being in many ways. And again, it's stigmatized. You know, grief is disenfranchised and loneliness is stigmatized. People are more willing to admit they're depressed than they are willing to admit that they're lonely.
Absolutely. It's seen as some kind of personal failure. Yeah. How did you allow yourself to be put in this position? And not only is that harmful, but also that feeds the grief, because that person is already missing times when they had more company, or maybe particular people who used to be around, and the loneliness is partly because that person is not. And so then to pile on a judgment on that just exacerbates the whole situation.
Which is why it's become an epidemic. And you can be in a crowd of people and feel alone. You can be alone and feel very connected, by the way. 60% of married people feel lonely. And there is great, great grief in the loneliness. So you, right now, those two things, they've been thrown together in one situation. And in some ways, you could call that disastrous. But in other ways, you could say, wake up, folks, wake up, world. This is shining a light upon that which needs our attention, on that which needs healing. So that's what COVID-19 is also doing for us, is it's shining a light on loneliness, and it's shining a light on grief, and it's shining a light on fear. And therein, you know, will we take a look at that? Because the volume has been turned up, folks. The volume is now very, very loud indeed. And are we just going to go back to normal, really? Or are we going to surrender the normalities that no longer serve us and have not been serving us for a very long time? including disenfranchising grief and including stigmatizing loneliness. You can feel, I feel quite cross. I'm not cross, but you really wake up, people. So let's put our attention to what we have been neglecting and to the people we've been neglecting.
Right.
If we don't get that out of this, then we've missed the point.
For sure, that's exactly what I was going to add, that's one of the ways I'm finding hope in this, that whilst it could be easy to hide from issues both that are brought around by COVID, but also ones that were existing and now we're trapped in with ourselves and with our issues, there is an opportunity in that potentially we may have the space to examine these things and see if there are ways in which we can process what's going on. And potentially we have the time. So the fact that people are listening to us say this, I think, is a really positive sign that people are seeking out ways to cope, ways to progress, because the alternative is we all just put our previous lives on some kind of pedestal, and returning to normal becomes this golden thing where our life will be perfect when it may well not have been. And in fact, that could be a trap, that what's going on for us right now, if we rush too quickly to go back to normality, I'm doing inverted commas, then our normal might be pushing all these emotions back down again. We just go back to potentially unhealthy coping mechanisms. Yeah. Nothing is resolved.
Yeah, there are norms I really pray we don't go back to. If you're seeking to ask these questions, if you're seeking but you don't know how, there is support. You know, come do my masterclass, listen to your podcast. Support is at hand. People are showing up and saying, we're here to serve you at this time. So if you're lonely, if you're grief-stricken, reach out. Because many people go, well, that's all very well, but what am I supposed to do? So there is support available, and people who really want to make this less painful and more liberating, actually.
That's a great word for it. And a great point. So we'll wrap up there then. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm really grateful.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.